Okay, so we're continuing on our study of the New Covenant this week, and we're on our final week. Just briefly to do a little summary, what we've talked about has been based out of 1 Corinthians 15. The first week, we talked about Jesus dying for our sins, which is represented by Passover, and in this new, that we've come to a new covenant. We've come to a new mediator of this covenant, and we're righteous by faith. In the second week, we talked about Jesus being buried for our sins and putting our sin away, that being represented by unleavened bread. It's something that we don't talk about a lot in the church, you know, but that the fact is that we've died, that that our sin has been put off. It's declared two times in chapter 7 of Romans that it's no longer I that sin. It's no longer I that do it, but it's sin that dwells in me. So we have that peace to know that our sin is cut off, that we have truly died. The law has been blotted out, and now there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation for us. So that was awesome to just kind of meditate on for that week. The third week, last week, we were together. We talked about Jesus rising again for us, and that being represented by first fruits. And so we know that we have risen because he's risen. We're risen with him, and we're going to rise. And there's a resurrection of the dead, and those that are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with him. We comfort ourselves with those words, and we know it now. We are living in such a place with Jesus where it's not what I do, it's not what I don't do, but it's a new creation. You know, that's not what justifies me, what I do, what I don't do, but it's faith, which works by love. And so that's kind of where we left off. And this week, we're going to talk about the fourth part that Paul mentions in this chapter about the grace of God. And that is represented by Pentecost. And so he says this in verse 10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. So it was not Paul living, but it was Christ living. And it wasn't Paul laboring, neither is it us laboring, but it's the grace of God that is laboring within us. And so just considering, you know, kind of all together, we've kind of labored in this study to separate each part and look at it like in depth. But just considering this whole new covenant of grace that God's given us, I extracted this from Ephesians 1. And I love when the Bible repeats itself. I think it's like the Holy Spirit's trying to say, listen, listen. And so he does that in Ephesians 1. And he says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, we have been accepted in the beloved. Remember that lady that had a bad husband, but she began to love him like he was good. That's what Jesus is doing for us. You know, it's not your behavior that he's loving you based upon. He's loving you based on the perfect love of the Son, and you're accepted in him. So to the praise of the glory of his grace, you've been accepted in the beloved Son. And to the praise of the glory of his grace, we trusted. So this is our part. We trusted in Christ, and we believed in the gospel of Christ. I love in that verse, it says, whom you trusted. So it calls the gospel a whom. The gospel is a person. It's Jesus. So this is our part. We trusted and we believed. And to the praise of the glory of his grace, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The earnest, it says, and that's that the earnest is it's a pledge given in advance as security. In other words, like a down payment. You're going to buy a house, you're going to purchase something big, you got to give a little for that. And so we have this earnest, this down payment, the pledge of what's coming of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. You're the purchased possession. So he's given something for you to hold on to. No, this is real. Heaven is real. Everything I've told you it's real. I've secured it. It's there. It's laid up. Comfort yourself with this. And I've given you the helper to help you know that. In 1 Corinthians, it says all of the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God. That's why it goes on in that chapter to say you're anointed, you're sealed, and you're given the earnest of the Spirit, that you can believe those promises. You know, I just so beautiful that those promises of God are yes and amen. So he gave us the Spirit of promise that we could believe them. So it can teach us all through our life. You know, this is why Paul prayed in that same chapter in Ephesians. He said, that they may be given the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation. What is revelation? It's taking the cover off. It's disclosing. It's appearing. It's making known. It's enlightening. It's revealing. He said, I want you to have this spirit of revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you would know what is the hope of your calling, what is the riches of his glory and the inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. This is our inheritance. And so we know from the scripture that we know God by receiving his revelation. He said, I want you to have the spirit of revelation in knowing. In knowing. This is how we know God. He reveals. He pulls the cover off. He shows. It's like Andrew was talking yesterday as he's learning his wife. He said, I never knew that about you. You know, that's like our life with God. Wow, I never saw that. I never seen that. I never knew. I never understood. But that's what God is doing with the spirit of promise all through your life. Look. See, look how good I'm good. Look, trust, rest. You know, that's what he's doing. He's giving us that by the spirit of revelation, by the spirit of promise that's given to us. God has done this in my life. I'll just share quickly a couple times that really changed my life, changed my faith. I remember being newly saved, and I would come home, I would write notes, you know, of the scriptures Lee was preaching, and he preached good, you know, and he preached, I would say, hard. He still does, you know. He preaches the unadulterated word of God, and it's sharp, you know, and it cuts out. My hearing was not perfected. It wasn't always received with faith, but I was given a lot of times to condemnation. I remember coming home one day, just hearing the word of God, looking at the scriptures, and then seeing my life. And I'm like, I'm so ashamed of my life. I'm so ashamed. I want to be better. I want to do better. I want to be what this word says. And I just went home. I opened my Bible. I opened my notebook. I read those things. And I was so discouraged at what I was. And I just wore myself out crying. I absolutely just fell asleep in my Bible. But the Holy Spirit woke me up with these words. He said to me with the softest and most kind rebuke I've ever received. He said, call not thou common what I have cleansed. And I knew just what he meant. He was saying to me, just like Peter, you know, wash my hands and my head. No, Peter, your faith has made you whole. He that is washed has to be washed everywhere. And you are. You're clean, he says. That's what he was telling me. You're clean. You believe me by faith. You know, and it changed my faith. It was so precious to me. I remember years later, there I was again, you know, with what seemed like a contradiction of sin in my life over in the altar. Remember the green carpet? You know, it's my little space on the end there. I would always be. And I knew I was saved, but I knew I was in a bad place. And I came to the Lord and I just had this question. I said, how did you see me when I first believed? And without even really expecting an immediate answer, I got one. He said, glorified. And I was like, wow, that is Romans 8. You know, you that have, you know, you have been predestined to be conformed to his image. So him that are predestined, he also called. Them that he called, he justified. Them that he justified, he glorified. So it's like he comes with the word, the spirit of promise, and he comes, you know, in agreement with that to teach you and to show you. It changed my faith, changed my life, you know. But I love that, you don't just get one revelation in this life. Think about, you know, Peter, James, and John, it was maybe on the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw Jesus' garments like lightning, you know, it was white, and they had revelation of him, but they needed more. They went down the mountain and they sinned. They disobeyed. They denied. But God was still showing them. God was giving them continual revelation, and that is nothing less than what God does for our lives. And so even with that, every one of you that has been born again, the Spirit of God is living in you. It's having been reconciled by his death, will be saved by his life, that life living in you. But even with that, there is a much, much more. There's a baptism in the fullness of his Spirit. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. I took, if you look at your second page, I took a lot of this from a book called God's Plan for Man. Dake Jennings just goes into detail about like so many things. And he talks a lot about the baptism in the Holy Spirit in these passages. And so he kind of talks about what it is and what it isn't. So we're going to look at that quickly. Every believer today that's received, every believer that is born again, you have received the Spirit of adoption, and you're filled with the Spirit when you're born again. And he says, no man could be a child of God without receiving the Spirit in measure. One can have all of these blessings. So I'm going to look in the middle of that. It says, it's by the Spirit that, you know, we're convicted, that we're born again, that we call Jesus Lord. I won't read them all, but you get the point. Like that, you know, we were sanctified, that we receive gifts. All of these things are what we enjoy by just being born again. Because, you know, like if we don't have the Spirit of Christ, we're not his. But if we are, then we have his Spirit in us. And so we know these beautiful blessings, every single one of us that just believes on him. But yet we can have all of these blessings and still not be baptized in the Spirit. For all men in all ages, even before Pentecost, had these experiences. So what the baptism in the Spirit is not, okay? The baptism in the Spirit is not a filling or a measure of the Spirit. The reception of gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, the experience of salvation, sanctification, or justification. Those are received by the born-again life when the Holy Spirit baptizes you into Christ. So we know the baptism is not any of that. That's received by faith when you believe on him. The baptism in the Spirit was not given unto men until the day of Pentecost, when Jesus poured out his Spirit. It says that plainly in John 7, you know, that the baptism in the Spirit was not given because he wasn't yet glorified. So if the Spirit, listen to this, if the Spirit baptism was not given to men before Pentecost, and they did have all the above mentioned blessings before Pentecost, then there is all the difference in the world between the baptism in the Spirit and all the other blessings. Such blessings will naturally be in the lives of those baptized in the Spirit, but they don't constitute such baptism. The baptism in the Spirit is the Spirit without measure. And these other blessings are simply different measures of the Spirit and are only a part of the fullness of God. So I hope that made sense. I know it, reading it maybe get convoluted, but these gifts, the blessings that we talked about, they're going to naturally be in the life of a believer. But the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a baptism without measure. So we're going to look at some of the scriptures that talk about that. In John 3 and 34, it says, Jesus, who God sent, speaks the words of God. For God gives not the Spirit by measure to him. So he didn't receive just a portion of the Spirit. He had the fullness of the Spirit. He didn't receive a little part. The fullness of the baptism, the fullness of the Spirit was given to Jesus. And it says that Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit descended on him. He said, God said from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And from there, immediately in the book of Luke, he is full of the Holy Ghost, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus lived full of the Holy Ghost. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew, you shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. So he's speaking about what we're going to receive. It's going to be what he received. In Matthew 3, it says, I, John, indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but Jesus, who's coming, is mightier than me. I'm not worthy to even touch his shoes. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. In Mark, it says, Jesus said this at his ascension. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they'll speak with new tongues. So Jesus is talking about this baptism they're going to receive. In John 4 and 14, it said, Jesus said, whoever drinks of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. We know that water that he was given was eternal life, but it's living here, right? He wanted that water not just to be in here, but he wanted it to be springing up, okay? So that's what he's talking about there. You're going to receive life. It's going to be in your belly, but I want it to spring up. That's what this baptism is. In Luke 24, Jesus said, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So that's kind of covering what we were talking about, the baptism, looking in the scriptures, what it is. We're going to look more about what Dake says. It says the baptism of the Spirit is an immersion or a burial of the believer in the Spirit, at which time he receives the Spirit in his life in all fullness and without measure, and is endued with power from on high to do the works of Christ. It's the Spirit taking full possession of the believer to live, to speak, to work through in the same degree that was manifested through Christ and his disciples. The sole purpose of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is to endue with power from on high the same works that Christ did. It says, Jesus said that we need this endowment of power to confirm the word of God. We need it to continue. I love that. Okay. I thought about it like fire. It's baptism, fire that doesn't run out. Like many waters can't quench love, you know, and we have to have this baptism. Pastor Lee was talking about this, that the baptism in fire, what is that? It's a love that doesn't go out. You need this baptism to continue. You know, we need that baptism to continue in what Jesus taught and what he did. We need this baptism to make us successful witnesses. And so that's what the baptism is. And I want to look now in the scriptures, these next three scriptures that I have listed here. I love this. I want to just use this to paint a picture about the Holy Spirit being our consecration to minister to God. God has called us to be kings and priests to the Lord. You know, it's an amazing thing that he's called us to do that. And so as we look at these scriptures in Exodus and Psalms and in the Song of Solomon, it talks about a special bit of spices and ingredients that were made to be a holy anointing for the priest. This was for them. It says that they would be, you were to take these, I didn't list them all in the first scripture, but it said to take these principal spices. It was a special way to make them. You were not to take this oil to use as a perfume. You were forbidden and even cut off from your people if you did that. But it was specifically for the office of that priesthood. It was supposed to be put on Aaron and his sons. And he said, with it, you will consecrate them, and they will minister unto me in the priest's office. So it was special to set them apart that, okay, these men are of God, and they are doing my works. They are mine. And so I love how you see these same ingredients, not exactly when you read the scriptures, but it's those same smells, those same ones when it describes Jesus. This is Jesus that Psalm 45 is talking about. And this is what his garments smell like. It's those same spices, the smell of myrrh and aloe and cassia. And then in the Song of Solomon, it mentions them again. And I love this. I've never heard anybody preach it, but I really believe that it is just an alluding to what God wants from our life. And when he talks about these spices, he says, how fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse, my bride of Christ, you could say. How much better is your love than wine. The smell of thine ointments, that's the life of Christ. The smell of thine ointments and all spices. thy lips, my spouse, drop as a honeycomb. Honey and milk are under your tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. You see that there? It's so lovely. It's the life of Christ. It's so wonderful, but it's shut up. It's inside. You don't want a fountain sealed. Who wants a fountain in their front yard sealed? It defeats the purpose of a fountain. It's supposed to spring up. It's supposed to be shared with the world. It's supposed to come out. So I see it almost like a lover calling out to a lover, come to me. You know, thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates, of pleasant fruits, and spikenard, and saffron, calamus, cinnamon, and frankincense, myrrh, aloes, and the chief spices. You're a well of living waters, a fountain of gardens. He wanted that. I didn't include this verse. In verse 16, he says, I want it, the spices to flow out. So he says, it's like what he's longing for. And he's telling us in the scriptures, this is what I've always purposed. I've always purposed to put my life in you and to put my power on you, that you can work the works of God. It has always grieved me since I learned about this baptism and received it. You know, not that I've received it perfectly and live in it perfectly, but it's always grieved me, this thought, to think what we can do without God. I mean, think about it. We really do a lot without God. You know, we do good works without God. And I don't mean just everybody in this room, but think about it for a second. The entire church worldwide. I didn't even learn about the baptism in the Holy Spirit until later, much later in my life. You know, so much of the church is just ignorant of it. They don't know. They don't know it from the scriptures. Many denominations come directly to the scriptures and they deny it. They just say, that is not so. Or they come to the scriptures and say, well, I believe that was for a time, but it's ceased and it's not for now. And it's so grieving to think what God purchased and this power, this weapon, this glory that he died and suffered so greatly for us to have and to bring him glory in the earth and to bring in the harvest. And we just won't or don't know. And so it's so important, and it is for you. It is for everyone that believed. I share this quickly. I've always loved the scripture in Galatians that said, there's no law against the Spirit. I've always just been, so, when the first time I read it, I was so drawn to it. Like, I don't really know what that means, but I love it. I love that. There's no law against the Spirit. And y'all know my book I talk about a lot from my sisters, Bertha and Ruth. Well, I was reading in that book one day, and it was about a missionary that was stationed in Africa, and there they, to get around in the jungle, they had these rope bridges that would get him from one side to the other. And this missionary was out serving the Lord. These tribal people trusted in Jesus, had never heard of him. Excuse me. He had a wonderful time with them, and then it got dark, and the jungle was very dangerous. There was tigers and, you know, just a lot of dangerous things. And he cried out to the Lord because he couldn't find one of those bridges, and there was no way to cross. No trees were down, and he just cried out and he said, God, what am I going to do? How am I going to get to the other side? And suddenly he was on the other side. I believe that. And when I read that, it took the lid off of my faith that there is no law against the fruit of the Spirit. There's no law. That means there's no law of condemnation. There's no written law, but there's no physical law. There is no gravity that is against the law of God. There's no gravity. There's no law of physics. There's no physical laws that we know and understand in this realm of physical sight and things that we know that is against the Spirit of God. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that amazing? And it's true. It's just like the eunuch that was transported. That happened in the book of Acts. It was just like that. This is the power of God that he wants us to live in. I'm going on. Anyway. But it grieves me to think of forfeiting the power that God has given to us, because God is so merciful. He's so gracious. He blesses those works of people that deny his baptism. He does. He's so good. He does receive us. You know, all we have to have is the Spirit to live in us, to be born again. And He blesses our works and even our ignorance. You know, what did we read? He wanted to dwell and give gifts even to the rebellious, right? He's so merciful. But, you know, if we choose to live without this baptism, it will only ever be what we can ask, or what we can think, or what we can imagine, what we can pray. But He has power for us beyond what we can know naturally, power that no law can oppose. And it's in you. It's in every believer, but it must come out. It must come out and be upon you. And so I want to talk about the life crowned with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I want to use a little bit of scripture that you might think, why are you talking about that with this? But I just want to tell you how God's ministered it to me. I'm probably the most prone to condemnation in the room because it seems like my stories are always about this. But many years ago, I was, you know, I had sinned. It was a Saturday night, and I was just feeling rotten before God. I felt dirty, and I felt ashamed of myself, and I was born again. But I was just like, God, I want to be free from this. I'm tired of sinning, and I just feel like awful, and I'm just crying my heart out. And I went into my prayer closet. I opened up my Bible, and I was like, just please speak to me, you know. And right where I opened the Bible, it was the book of Zechariah, and this is exactly where I started reading. It said, He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke you, O Satan, even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. He is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel, and he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused that iniquity to pass from you, and I will clothe you with a change of raiment. And I said, Let him set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. And it ministered to me so much. I mean, I felt like Jesus was just washing me, cleaning me, reassuring me, you know, just restoring me, saying, you know, I've given you something clean to wear. You're okay. I'm standing by you, you know. But the most incredible thing was, that was a Saturday night, came to church the next day. Pastor Lee preached from none other than Zechariah 3:1-5. He preached this message, and he said, you know, I was up very late last night, and the Holy Spirit just had me throw out my whole message and gave me this message. He gave me a new message. And so it was like just a double portion of God's ministry in my life. You know, it was like God went out of his way to declare this to me and to show me, you are clean, and I crown you. I crown you with my life. I give you cleanness. I declare you are mine, and I stand by you. So I've always been attracted to these passages over the years. I would go and receive strength, comfort from them. And I was reading in the nearby passages in chapter 4, and it says this, you know, we're very familiar with it. It says, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Zerubbabel was a governor of the time. He was like, you could say, he was like a, you know, a king, if you will. He was a ruler. And he was, I think, a nephew of the king at that time. And he was commissioned to rebuild the temple, but it had failed. There was just, you know, obstacles in the way. And this was the word of the Lord to him, that he would say, Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and thou shalt bring forth the headstone thereof, crying, Grace, grace unto it. And I read that one day like, wow, grace is an Old Testament concept. You know, this has always been God's idea. My ability, my ability, my ability. And so I just believe this is such a beautiful picture of the life crowned with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You know you're nothing. You know you have nothing in yourself to give, but you're crowned with the fire of God, and you go around in His power. You know you have no strength on your own, but you just declare to your life, to the mountains, to the opposition, to the things you don't understand, God's ability, God's ability, God's ability, grace, grace, grace. And you walk in and live in that victory. It's just such power. And this is what God has ordained for us. I believe that's such a picture of that. And that's what Peter talks about us, that we are a holy priesthood. We're a royal priesthood. And we can't minister unto Him without this Spirit. We can't. That's that anointing. It's like, I'll bring this out from the first things that we talked about. These feasts, you know, they weren't magic. The bread, the blood, the first fruits being waved, that wasn't magic or something special in itself. It was pointing to something. It was pointing to Christ. And that's what this oil is that's talking about. That wasn't some magic potion they were using with the cinnamon and everything. It was speaking of something that we would inherit. It was speaking of the Holy Spirit, the grace of God that would be in our lives, that we could minister to Him. We can't do that apart from this. We can't do what He calls us to do, the exceeding abundantly above, without the fire of God, the baptism in the Holy Ghost. So I want to turn to talk about Pentecost. We talk about that famous day in the book of Acts. Before we do, this is just amazing in itself, just to consider. The Feast of Pentecost was also called the Feast of Weeks as well. But when you hear the Feast of Weeks, that was talking about first fruits and Pentecost. So they both centered around harvest. And the first of the harvest, you would celebrate first fruits. So you take off the vine and, you know, wave before God and fulfill the purpose things for that feast. And then at the end of the harvest, you would celebrate Pentecost. And that was the taking in of the harvest. So doesn't it just make sense that we can't be born again without the first fruits? We can't be new until He was new. You know, He was made first, and that's the first of the harvest. You know, He's the first and new creation. He's the first fruits of a new race, a heavenly race. And now that's how we're saved, because He's raised. But the word is so beautiful, how it just makes perfect sense that we can't bring in the harvest without this baptism. God was specific about this. He's merciful to us. He helps us, and there's some done. But you can't bring in the harvest like I want you to, like I purpose, like I desire, without this baptism. And so going on in that, in the Old Testament, the Feast of Pentecost was the celebration or the commemoration of the giving of the law. And this is just awesome to consider, the giving of the law. Moses was, you know, receiving those tablets, and the Israelites were busy making a golden calf and sinning. And when he came down the mountain, 3,000 people ultimately were killed. He said, you know, if you're for me or against me, those that are with me, stand over here. And those that aren't, you know, y'all take up your sword and go and kill them. And 3,000 people died at the giving of the law. But how awesome when you look at this. On the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts, when the Spirit was poured out, Peter preached and 3,000 people were saved. So it's just like, truly, we're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. And the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? The word's just awesome. Makes it so plain. And so Jesus talks about a power from on high that we would receive. I love this, y'all. We talked about Jesus appearing. I mean, it's just awesome to consider, because a lot of times you think of Jesus, he raised and he was like, bye, have a great time, you know, do what I said. And he ascended that day. But no, he really stuck around for about 40 days. It says that in Acts, he showed himself being seen of them 40 days. I mean, he made it very clear what he did. And he spoke to them pertaining to the kingdom of God. And when they were all assembled together, he commanded them, don't depart from Jerusalem. Wait for the Spirit of promise. Remember, we talked about that Spirit of promise that we're sealed. Wait for the promise of the Father. And he said, you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. So really, it would have been about 10 days, you know. from there. And so so they knew, they were expecting. He says, you're going to receive power. I love this. When you look at that word power, it means ability. And it means possible. You receive the spirit of possible. You know, doesn't that just fall in line with the scripture where it says all things will be possible to them that believe because you have the spirit of possible. So you're going to receive power, ability, possible, miraculous power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all the other most parts in the world. And in Acts 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come and they were all with one accord in one place. I love this. There was a mighty sound of rushing wind. I believe with all my heart that was the Spirit rushing in to be with them. He had this in his heart for the ages. You know, he had this forever. So he was waiting. He had told them they were prepared. They were in one accord. And when the time was right, he rushed in. I believe that was that sound. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire that sat upon them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke with other tongues, just like Jesus said, as the Spirit gave them utterance. In Acts 2 and 16, it says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That's what, when people were like, what's going on? That's when Peter stood up and said, look, this is what Joel had already said. This was already prophesied. This is Jesus doing that. In Acts 2 and 33, it says, Jesus, being at the right hand of the Father exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, this is what you just witnessed. He shed it forth. This is what you see, and this is what you hear. And so it's just beautiful that it was done. And I want to talk a little bit about this baptism. And I just absolutely love Pastor Lee's teaching on this. I remember many years ago we would meet in here in the red carpet room for Sunday school. And he talked about the ease of being baptized in the Holy Ghost. And my spirit just agreed with it so much. I'm like, yes, it's easy. It is easy. It's easy because he's already in you. And he just talked about how, you know, in religion and with the church, we make it hard. We do. I did too. You know, it's common. We make it complicated, you know, and because, you know, we think with these minds, but that's not how you receive spiritual things. You receive by the Spirit. And so he talked about that ease, and that's what you see in the scripture in Acts 2, 8, 10, 19. You don't see this struggle where it's like we prayed all night or we prayed for weeks. You know, it's just like they laid hands and they received. Some of them, while Peter's preaching, they just received the Holy Ghost and start speaking in tongues. Others of them, we know they weren't laid hands on the chapter that we just read in chapter 2. So there, nobody was laying hands on them. And then two other occasions, they went down and said, since you believed, have you received the Holy Spirit? No. So they told them all about it. They laid their hands and they received. Same thing at Corinth. And with the Samaritans, there's other occasions where this happened, but you just see that easiness, you know, because God never intended it for it to be hard, you know, for us to receive. This is a gift that he wants to willingly give. I remember, when I had learned about this from the scriptures, I was like, well, I certainly want that. I certainly don't understand it, you know, but I want it. And so, like, I remember teaching school with Linda and talking to her a lot about it. I want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And she's like, okay, just help me. But I remember it must have been 07. We were doing a Christmas musical and I was singing a special Christmas. And a lady came up to me after the service. Her name was Michelle. And she said, Michelle, while you were singing, the Lord gave me a scripture for you and just wants me to share it with you. And I was like, okay. And she said, it's Ephesians 3:20. And I was like, all right. And so I couldn't wait to get home and read my Bible and see what God wanted to say to me. And you know the scripture very well. To do exceeding abundantly above all we would ever ask or think according to the power that works in us. And it just goes to show that the natural mind does not receive the things of God. Because I poured over that scripture like, what does this mean? You know, I was like, I just didn't know. And I wanted to know. Why did God want to tell me this? And so I just prayed it a lot. I read it in context, you know, and I wanted to know what was God trying to say, you know. One Sunday night, I'm in the altar in the same little spot on the green carpet, and I'm reading that scripture, you know. Well, at the same time, Jeff Lee gets up and he goes to the pulpit, Sunday night prayer service, and he's like, y'all, we need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. We need this baptism. It's God's promise to you. It's, you know, and he's just telling you all the things that I've been saying tonight. And it was just like, oh, this is what God wants to do. It's according to the power that works. He wants to baptize me in the Holy Ghost. So he's coming off the platform. Pastor Lee's in the middle. I grab him like, I need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they just laid hands on me and I received the Holy Spirit. It wasn't hard. It wasn't like the whole church saw or anything. It was no big shabam, you know, but it was true. It was what the Spirit said. He baptized me in the Holy Spirit and I spoke in other tongues by faith. It was just awesome. And I've grown in that. And I will say, everything we read about Dake, how, you know, we have these spiritual gifts just by salvation, right? I will say the Holy Spirit turns up the volume on that. You know, when you hear him better. When you read the word, you understand better. He just enhances everything that's already yours. But there's more. And I'll share, let's see where I am. I'll share this testimony. I think this was in the year 2017. Bubba would have a prayer meeting, like for the nation on, during the week, you know, and just a handful of us would come and we were praying, and Nancy Powell was there. At the time this was going on, we had a serial killer in the surrounding area. And I remember, her praying. It wasn't anything I even made like a point of prayer for myself, but I heard her praying in the meeting, and she was like, Lord, we don't want to be known as a murder capital, you know, and praying along, amen with that. And so the next week I'm driving to work, and I just began to pray for my day, you know, and I'm praying, you know, help me have a good day, help me at work, help me with this and that. And all of a sudden I felt the Holy Spirit come upon me and begin to pray in the Spirit. And when I began to pray in the Spirit, I heard Nancy Powell's voice saying, we don't want to be known as the murder capital. And I could just feel God on me, praying the Holy Spirit on me. And I began to pray in English. And I said, Lord, help us, God. Deliver us from this killer. Let him turn himself in. And let the police be able to capture him. And let him be saved in prison. And be used to the glory of God in that place. Amen. And so went to work. That was a Tuesday. I came to church on a Wednesday. And we had a Wednesday night service. And I get home from service. And I'm just flipping through my phone, looking at Facebook. And I see like groups of my high school friends. And they're like, oh my gosh, wow, oh wow, I can't believe. Oh, and I'm like, what's going on? What are they talking about? Well, it turns out a man that we had gone to high school with had been captured that morning for being the serial killer. And it was just as the Holy Spirit had prayed. He called to turn himself in. Doesn't it seem like a contradiction that I would pray, let him turn himself in and let them capture him? Well, turns out he called to turn himself in, but then when they went to his house, he ran. And so there was a high-speed, you know, car chase that went through a few parishes, I think, and they were able to capture him. And it was like, wow, this is the power that we can't do. I wouldn't even think to ask that. It's above the thinking, the asking, the imagining. It's the power of the Holy Spirit to subdue evil. We see Paul doing that in the scriptures. He subdued evil, and people believed because of it. Many of you know, I just bring this up as encouragement for those of you who are baptized in the Holy Ghost and, you know, for years. And y'all remember the message that Pastor Lee preached this summer about why I speak in tongues. That was so encouraging. That was like just such bread, you know, for the soul. And he gave this this kind of summary. It's out of 1 Corinthians 14, but he says, when we're doing that, as we pray in the Spirit by faith, we're declaring the mind of God. We're disclosing the mind of God by our utterance. We're edifying ourselves. The Spirit is even confiding in you and revealing to you hidden or secret things of God. It's the divine counsel of His will that's really not obvious to your understanding. So it's just such encouragement. Like, it just makes you want to just pray in the Spirit all the time, you know, and just like pray that over your life. Well, y'all know Hannah Middleton, and she's just precious to us, and had been, you know, on bed rest and, you know, not doing well. And she had been reaching out to a few of us. You know, she was opening the door for us to carry her burden. She's just saying, I'm struggling. You know, my faith is struggling, and my body is weak, and I need prayer. And so several of us, you know, all of you were burdened for her, you know. But this one day after Pastor Lee had preached this, three of us, you know, were burdened for her. We went over to have some prayer with her. And I said, Hannah, and she didn't look well. She just was not doing well, not looking well. And we got there. It was just three of us with her. And I said, Hannah, did you hear the message that Pastor Lee preached about, you know, the tongues? And she said, no, I wasn't able to listen. You know, just feeling so bad, couldn't even turn the TV on. And so I just gave her a little bitty disclosure of it, you know, a little summary, just like I did for you. And I said, I know this may be awkward, you know, we don't have any music, it's just four of us, but we're all baptized in the Holy Ghost. Let's just do this by faith. And so we all just took some time. We began to just pray in the Spirit, and we just prayed in the Spirit. We just prayed in the Spirit with this faith that God is going to disclose His wisdom, His counsel, His secrets, His help for her life. We just did that by faith, you know, and it was a beautiful time. The Lord came in the room. Hannah just began to cry, just began to weep, and each one of us, one by one, we began to speak words of encouragement over her. We prayed over her. We sang over her. It was a beautiful time. And as we closed, I felt the Holy Spirit give me this prayer. And I said, Lord, she's had so many prescriptions. But you are the great physician. Would you write her a prescription? Amen. And we left. And a week later, exactly 1 week later, she contacted us girls, and she said, I feel the Lord has told me to do something, and He's told me to be accountable to Him and to you with thanksgiving, to practice this gift of thanksgiving to Him, and to be super mindful of it for the next 30 days or whatever. And I text those girls and I said, y'all, this is a move of God. This is Hannah's faith in action. We need to encourage this. And I watched her. Maybe not necessarily her body right away, but I watched her faith just increase. I watched a move of God in her life. And I think you all got the text from the group me just a week ago. She said, I'm feeling so much better than ever. I have not felt this way in ages. We just watched her ascend in the grace of God. And she said, I just feel the grace of God. And so that's the power of this baptism. You know, we didn't go even knowing what to do. We just felt the burden, and we went by faith to speak mysteries over her. But God wrote her a prescription. God has helped her. And I give Him all the glory for that. So I close with this. How do I receive the baptism in the Holy Ghost? You know, how do we receive anything in this life with God? By faith, right? It's just by faith. And if you're born again, you have everything you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You have that water, that well of living water. You just have to let Him out. I love to say it like this. You know, when Peter was in the boat and Jesus was without, Peter saw Him and he said, you know, if that's you, call me out on the water. So Peter walked on water, right? That's impossible. That is impossible. But Peter walked, and God gave him the ability to do something supernatural. So likewise, we talk. You are going to talk. The Spirit is not going to move your tongue. The Spirit is not going to move your mouth. You, like Peter walked, you are going to speak. But God is going to help you do something supernatural. He's going to do the impossible through your life. He's going to give you supernatural ability. I would also say this, listen with your spiritual ear. You all could close your eyes and see something, you know? So, you know, you have physical eyes and you have a spiritual eye, you know? And likewise, you have a physical ear and you have a spiritual ear. So as you're praying, as you're seeking, as you're believing, you know, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and make melody in your heart to the Lord, and listen with your spiritual ear. And when you hear that, speak it. speak it. God will give you that utterance to speak. And so I just close with this, Ephesians 3:20. It's the Amplified Version. I love it. Now to him who is able to carry out and to purpose and do super abundantly more than all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, our hopes, or our dreams, according to his power that works within us. Amen. Amen.